those reefs that are not in the Keys are not very accessible to people. So if you want to dive on the Texan reefs, they're, I've never been there, but I think they're like tens of miles offshore. We actually have coral communities, which, you know, reef corals, but they're not abundant enough to actually form a consolidated reef deposit. So they're not called reefs off of Cedar Key here. So we have probably a dozen species of reef corals off of Cedar Key. If you go far offshore, there is the Florida Middle Grounds, which are a drowned barrier island sort of situation, about maybe 50, 80 miles offshore, that have very substantial coral communities, more than 20 species in them. So you have coral communities in a lot of places, but we call them reefs when they are so abundant that their dead skeletons form a reef together.
In light of the BP oil spill,
to actually give the public an understanding of the importance of what the health of a coral reef to the bigger picture of, I guess, the food chain, put it in perspective with the potential loss of a coral reef. Are you concerned at all?
Yeah, I am concerned. And I think, you know, obviously there is a lot of unknowns. And one of the biggest concerns I have really is that we live at a time when the reefs are under a lot of stress, much of which is heat stress from global warming ultimately. And this year is turning out to be one of the worst ones on record for heat stress. And so we suspect that there's going to be a lot of reef decline as a result of that this summer. It's when you have very high temperature waters, the symbiosis between corals and their little algal cells, their seaweed symbionts that feed them in part, breaks down. The corals lose their algal symbionts and turn white, and that's called bleaching because of the change in color. And that signals, you know, severe problems, and the corals can then starve to death if that bleaching event is prolonged and die. And we have had some very serious bleaching events on the records in the past, and this year is going to be another one. And whenever you have bleaching or whenever you have problems with reefs, the more stressors you add into the equation, the more severe things become. It's sort of like, you know, if somebody gets pneumonia when they're healthy, you can deal with it. If they already have cancer or AIDS, they get pneumonia, it's a lot more dangerous. So the same idea goes with oil, which, you know, is nasty enough in itself, but to come during a particularly hot year, it's going to be really, really bad. And coral diseases, for example, are mushrooming up around the world, again, because the reefs are under so much stress from heat shock and other reasons. And a lot of people believe, for example, that the epidemics we are seeing in a lot of corals, which are becoming much more prevalent than they used to be, is the result of just, you know, added stress. And you know, you stack all these stressors on top of each other and things really go to pot.
So how dependent, if you were to kind of look at the food chain, what's at risk then if the coral is so at risk already from heat stress and then potential contamination by oil? What other impacts then will we see up the line?
Well, a lot of it is time dependent on what time scale you're looking at. Basically, there are a lot of species that, some of which have economic importance, some of which don't, that rely on living coral. So there are symbionts that live in the corals. There are things that associate with the coral or with the symbionts or shelter in living coral for protection from predators. And, you know, if you lose the coral, those species have no place to live and they cannot survive in that environment.
Can you name some of those?
Butterfly fish, some of the crab species, shrimp species that live in the coral, some snail species, some of the, I don't know the Atlantic system as well, but in the Pacific, we have a lot of juvenile fish that shelter in branching coral. So it's a nursery for some things. It's a lifelong environment for others, and so the living coral goes, they go. On a longer term scale, structure in the water, meaning architecture, places to hide, is provided by the accumulation of coral skeletons, the reef itself, and the more corals die, the more that breaks down and disappears. And so all of the species that we are used to that associate with structure are dependent ultimately on the reef for that. So they are at the danger of their population levels falling. But that's not as severe because, you know, any kind of structure, not any kind, but many kinds of structures could potentially replace it, although for some species it won't. In the long sense, you know, also, of course, the whole appearance of the reef will really change if you lose the corals, because instead of corals, you'll have basically beds of seaweeds and whatnot that take their place. And so it will enhance some of the organisms that depend on that, but the organisms that depend on the reef will be gone.
Are you concerned at all about the dispersants used
sure.
on the oil? In what
sure.
way?
From what I hear word of mouth from colleagues is that they're as nasty as the oil, if not more. They obviously deal with dispersing the oil, so the oil becomes less of a hindrance to feathery things like birds that, you know, would glom down with the oil, but that just means that all the toxins get into the water column and kill things that live in the water. So, you know, the Exxon Valdez spill in Alaska has been studied extensively in terms of the impact of oil there. And there was a lot of die-offs of all sorts of organisms, seaweeds and invertebrates and fish and so forth. And I'm hearing from friends who live up in the panhandle that, you know, bizarre things are happening. Besides the oil on the beach, you know, you get a lot of things that die. A lot of the species of marine life are filter feeders. They filter the ocean, and you can imagine filtering all this gunk out, what that will do to them. They'll probably die. You know, accumulation in the sediment, they'll coat the sediment, that will reduce water circulation. So oxygen will be used up, turning the sediments anoxic. And, you know, for organisms that depend on oxic sediments, well-oxygenated, well-flushed sediments, that will be deadly.
Do you think about it on a personal level, or
sure.
are you primarily looking at it from a scientific perspective most of the time?
Well, I think a lot about it at the personal level. I mean, I think it's a tragedy that we take our environment so for granted, that we drive SUVs just, you know. I mean, bottom line is the consumer that's driving this. It's not the oil companies. The oil companies are selling that product, and we consume a lot more than we could. And if we would reduce our consumption, the risks for these kinds of things would go down as well. And so it's really the fault of the public, who's a heavy consumer of energy products, as much as it is a fault of course, negligence from whoever made mistakes in the design of these rigs.
You know, some people have said it'll be another 200 years if we did lose a coral reef. It would be 200 years before it would come back. Is that really accurate, 200 years?
No. I think there are two aspects to this. One is recovery timescale for a reef when it's in a healthy environment. And we know that in really good conditions, reefs, as long as there are propagules available, can come back in years to decades. The problem, however, here is that, you know, business is not as usual. I mean, these reefs are under nutrient stress already from the large population density of South Florida. They are under heat stress from global warming. They are under all sorts of other stressors. Diseases are popping up. So they are under very, severe impact. I mean, the coral reef community right now is speculating whether reefs as a whole will survive the next 50 years given global warming. So, you know, if the ocean temperature goes up so much, there's nothing to come back to. I mean, the environment will not be suitable for coral life. Maybe at higher latitudes, there are other possibilities, but the impact, the single most vulnerable, perhaps, I mean, this is always a guess, but certainly one of the most vulnerable ecosystems on the planet to global warming are coral reefs because of the bleaching and heat-related sensitivity of these organisms.
Where in the world have we lost coral reefs forever?
You don't know what forever is, because you don't know. I mean, there are so many unknowns in the responses of reefs. The big question in terms of global warming and reef response is, how rapidly can corals adapt? We know that corals can live at higher temperatures. The problem is not that the temperatures are rising to a level that corals can survive in. The problem is that their speed at which they can adapt to that temperature, which takes generations, is being compromised by the rate at which temperatures are rising. At present, there have been, the most infamous year for coral bleaching was 1998. And it looks like this year will be a repeat of that or something comparable. And in 98, where we lost a lot of reefs depended on where the water temperature rose to a certain level, where there was a lot of solar irradiation, low cloud cover. Cloud cover can protect reefs because the UV stress coming from the sun is an added stressor that leads to nasty turnout after bleaching. But some of the most affected areas that year were in the south. In the Western Indian Ocean. So the areas around Kenya and the whole East African coast in the Seychelles, for example, lost, you know, well over half of their coral in a single season. closer to me at that time when I lived at Guam in the West Pacific was Palau, which is a very famous dive destination and location, where there was a phenomenal mortality of corals. And most striking among those were these huge beds of staghorn and bottlebrush acropora corals they had, which suffered over 99% mortality in a single season. So, you know, when you see this kind of mortality in a single season, you realize the power that this has. And, you know, again, to come back to the energy issues, I mean, these are related problems. Global warming and the oil spill are both driven by consumers.